I do like some pastors and say, like Pastor Gibson does this, I believe. If you got it, say, I got it. All right. Well, will you join me as we make our confession together there and our confidence in God and His Spirit to speak to us right now through His Word? All right. Will you join me? Let's say it like we mean it, because we really do believe. All right. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free. Free indeed, I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we read this familiar passage of Scripture here, I wanted to I don't know if you watched this game or not, but last Sunday evening was the Super Bowl, and one of the commercials, you know, sometimes the commercials get a little hype, you know, is something going to be real funny or whatever, and this one commercial just really caught my attention, because here's how it started. It said, the ancient Greeks had four words for love. And because I've studied the New Testament a little bit, I was just familiar with the words. I'm no Greek scholar, but I wanted to hear, so I kind of caught myself like leaning in just to see what they were going to say. And they mentioned the three, phileo and storge and eros. And then this is what they said, because this is the one I was really listening for anyway. They said the fourth kind of love is different. In fact, I pulled it up so I could watch, so I could write down exactly what they said. This is the commercial said. The fourth kind of love is different. It's the most admirable. And then as they mentioned this fourth love, the word that we translate love is agape, and they were showing these images on the commercial of like someone maybe my age or so, and had, I would think, either their dad or maybe a father figure, and they're lowering them into the bathtub and taking a sponge and bathing the older man. And then there is another one where, you know, how sometimes people, when they go through treatments, they lose their hair. So there was like a group of people, and they were like shaving their head to join in with the one who was receiving treatments, who was losing their hair. They were kind of doing that together. And then another one was maybe a dad had a child in a wheelchair, and they were helping him into the vehicle and folding the wheelchair and putting it up. So these images are playing as they're saying about this fifth or this fourth kind of love is different. It's the most admirable. And it says it's called agape love as an action. It is what it said. It takes courage, sacrifice, strength. It takes courage, sacrifice, strength. This kind of love is different. And then the commercial closes. One of the closing scenes is like two individual beds there side by side and two older people reaching over and touching hands in the middle. And then like a mom holding a newborn baby. And it was just talking about living well. That was New York Life. New York Life actually did that commercial. And I thought, but I said, wow, that was just so cool, you know, because you know, some of the commercials are silly or funny or whatever. But that one really just spoke to my heart. I appreciate what they did. I appreciate what they said. And that word agape is in one of the most popular verses. In fact, it's really the word that is used for God's love in the New Testament. And in John chapter 3, and of course for most of you, a very familiar scripture, verse 16, the Bible says this. For God so loved. It's that form of the word agape. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. One characteristic of love as an action is giving. And so that's the message this morning. Very simple. Love gives. Love gives. For God so loved that he gave. Love gives. And this commercial given, you know, in the various forms in which it gave, it just reminded me. Now, of course, they didn't mention Jesus or anything per se in the commercial, But I related it to the Lord because God loved us so much, He gave Himself in sacrifice for our sins. That's the context of what John 3:16 says here. If you just drop back two verses to verse 14, John chapter 3, verse 14, Jesus is still speaking. And He says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That's speaking about because the people were being bitten by snakes and they were dying from the snake bites. And God gave them a very unusual remedy, if you want to say that, to heal them. He told Moses to make a serpent out of brass and put it up on a pole. And He just simply said, everyone who will look in faith to that representative there will be healed of, in their physical bodies of this snake bite. And that's a picture of how Jesus is not lifted up in praise, but how He was lifted up on the cross and He became that sin offering for us. So He was demonstrating how much God loved us. So He said, in that same way, so that we look to Him in faith today for healing, first of all, in our spirit, to heal us from sin. And He says in verse 15, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. So Jesus gives us eternal life when we come to that place of simply believing God and receiving Jesus as Lord. So Jesus gives eternal life when we believe Him and receive Jesus as Lord. He gives us His Holy Spirit to help us live His way. And I want to just read two more verses in this chapter because Jesus, He took our punishment. I want to emphasize, Jesus took our condemnation and Jesus took God's wrath against our sin so that we do not have to. We can receive mercy. So the Bible says, John 3:18, he who believes in Him, speaking of the Son, is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And then verse 36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. So God gives us spiritual life and God gives us His Holy Spirit to help us live His way. Thank God Jesus took the punishment for our sin. He took the condemnation that was rightfully ours. And now when we believe Jesus, we're free from condemnation. Thank God He freed us and He's brought us into His favor instead. And His Holy Spirit, I want to emphasize this. I think it's important in our day in which we live. To say He's given us His Holy Spirit to live His way means that He's given us His Spirit to live by the eternal, inspired truths of His Word. Not just to live any way we want and call it freedom, it's to live God's way. And God's Word is the standard by which we are to live. So it's not just open for, well, that's your truth. No. What matters is it's God's truth. And to receive it that way, and then by His grace, seek to follow Him and to walk in that kind of love. Because God's love gives. Thank God that He loved and gave for us. But when we receive Jesus, then that same love of God within our heart inspires us to give too. Love gives. I want to just give you a few verses here this morning if you want to write these down. I'll make them fairly quick for time's sake, but I think they're important because love gives in many different ways. Love can be expressed in a variety of ways. And I haven't read this book, but there is a book called The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. I'm familiar with the various expressions there. And I just see those as good examples. And I see them in Scripture too. So I'll focus on those this morning in the various ways in which love gives. So if you want to write this down, the first one I'll just mention is in a form of words, that love gives words. It gives words of affection. For example, in fact, I'll read a part of a verse or a couple of verses here in Philippians 1 in just a moment. But we're all familiar with one expression of words, right? I love you. That's certainly one way of how we can give words. We give words of affection. We can give words of appreciation. Just a little while ago in the service, you were given words of prayer. And prayer can be an expression of love. for someone. We can give words of, if someone's hurting, we can give words of comfort as an expression of how our love gives. We can give words of just affirmation, like the Father did to the Son. You are my begotten Son. I love you. To have a parent to say that, I'm just proud of you because you're mine. To give us that kind of affirmation and to love and give us even wisdom, to give us direction. Those can be expressions of words of love here. Philippians chapter 1, if you want to write these two verses down, verses 7 and 8. And he's writing these. He's not able to be there with them in person, so he's expressing his love for them in words of writing as he says, just as it's right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. He was incarcerated, but he was writing to them, sharing his love. He says in verse 8, for God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. I long for you with the affection of Jesus Christ. And then a second expression of love is found in Mark chapter 10, and that's in healthy physical touch. Healthy physical touch. And I really love this example of Jesus. Of course, he displayed them all. But in Mark chapter 10 and verse 13, we read these words that people were bringing little children to Jesus so that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. Isn't that something? The disciples were like, no, no, he's ours. Y'all keep those kids away. This is the men's event. This is for the adults. And verse 14, when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased. And he said to them, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. And then verse 15, assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, in other words, to humble ourselves, will by no means enter it. And Jesus took them up in his arms, he laid his hands on them, and he blessed them. Healthy physical touch can be an expression of love. And of course, God has designed the husband and wife relationship to have that special intimacy as well. That a physical expression of love between husband and wife in the covenant of marriage. I shared this verse with you last week in the message, but there's a scripture in Genesis chapter 29 and three verses there beginning in verse 18. It speaks of the service, that love can be expressed or given in the form of service. And it says, verse 18, now Jacob loved Rachel, so he said, I'll serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter. Laban said, it's better that I give you to her than to another man. You stay with me. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed only a few days to him. Why? Because of the love he had for her. All the ladies said, oh. And I'll be honest, you know, I had mentioned my dad earlier in the service. That for him, and I'm not trying to say right or wrong, but he wasn't one to really verbally say, and I think that was characteristic maybe of his generation to some degree, that, you know, they weren't just maybe as open in expressing, you know, like hugging or sharing, I love you, maybe as a general rule. And some of that may have come from just the concept that, you know, we got to be strong and we can't show that side. We can't cry. We got to be, you know, we can't show that form of emotion. And I know for him, and I've come to appreciate it over the years now, but for him to go out and work every day, to work hard and to try to provide for us and giving us, you know, things that we might want, that was his expression of love for us. That he, when he didn't feel like it, going through several back surgeries and so forth, he was out there, he still worked and worked, and he tried to show love in that way of giving us things to provide for us. And so love can be expressed in different ways. Would you say love gives?
Love gives.
And then also, and we'll put these verses on the screen here, because love can be expressed in tangible items like some type of gift or money. Like I've said before, maybe a little child drawing a card for you. But that's a gift. It means something to them. And so the scripture, and I'll read this one to you from, it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And the first five verses there, I'll read it from the New Living Translation. I just really like how it brings this out about the people's heart. It says, now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. Notice this. They're being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor. But they are also filled with abundant joy. See, our advertising industry will separate those two. It will make us, I can't have joy. I don't have a bunch of stuff. Well, if your joy is based on your stuff, it'll never last long, probably. But if our joy is based on what we have in the Lord, then we have an unchanging situation here in which we can rejoice because we rejoice in the Lord. These people were desperately poor, but because they had the love of God in their heart, they said, you can't keep me from giving. That was in their heart. Do you see how it was just an expression of love? Just like the lady who put in 2 copper coins and Jesus said, she gave more than all these rich people. It wasn't the amount, it was the heart. Love gives. I've found that over the years. I've found it by experience that when someone has a heart to give, it doesn't matter how much of this world's goods they have, they give something. And they express it in some form. And it says, so they're filled with abundant joy, which is overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify that they not only gave what they could afford, but far more. They did it of their own free will. That's the way love is to be. It's not something that we pressure and coerce and manipulate out of someone. It comes from within because of what God has done for us. Verse 4 says, they begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. And they did even more than what we'd hoped. For their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us just as God wanted them to do. That's the real key to giving, is to just give ourselves to God first. Then the money just is an expression of ourselves. That's how I want to encourage you. When you give, that doesn't matter whether you physically put something in the offering plate. You give, you know, people. I give to some ministries. It's taken out of like the bank card or the checking account. That's okay. Pray for the ministries. Let it be a picture of the first giving of our heart to God and partnering with that ministry to be a blessing to them, and you share in the fruit of it. Man, pray over your seed. Confess God's blessing over your finances. And to give it that way, that was a pattern of what the people did in the Old Testament. And then one more, Romans chapter 1. Let me read these two verses to you. Romans chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, that you may be established, that is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Love gives time. Love can give in the form of time, quality time together of sharing and time together of listening. You know, it's a form of consideration and respect, isn't it, when we take the time to listen to someone else. It seems like we've come to a place today just in our culture where we just want to kind of give, you know, our perspective or our opinion. And that's fine. There's certainly a place for that. But what about being willing to listen to one another? You know, I really believe this is so important in leading other people to Jesus. We have to first listen to realize where they are so that we can relate to them. It's like we build that bridge of a relationship together with them. Not that we enter into their sin, but we want to enter into their perspective and into their world. And I like the picture of someone said, we build a relationship bridge from our heart to their heart so Jesus can walk across. Amen. And so that he can come into someone else's heart and to someone's life. Now, as followers of Jesus, we can choose to love and we can choose to give. I'll say that again. As followers of Jesus, we can choose to love and we can choose to give because we have been loved by God and because we are indwelt by God's Holy Spirit. If you're there in John, would you turn back just a few pages to Luke chapter 10? Luke chapter 10. Jesus said, we freely receive, freely give. Freely receive, freely give. Now, thank God for emotions. We all enjoy the good emotions when we have those. But brothers and sisters, we're not to limit our love nor our obedience to God based on our emotions, based on our feelings. Remember, this fourth kind of love is different. Agape is different. Let me give you just a little simple definition of agape. It's an expression, it's actually focused on the well-being of another. It's what's good for someone else. It's considering How is this going to possibly benefit them? That's why I try to encourage parents. Sometimes you have children. I know it can be popular and it can be the easy thing to do. I know. But if we let the children just do what they want, it's not ultimately what's best for them. So to actually take the effort and the time and the investment to try to train them in the way he should go and the way she should go, that requires some effort and time and pray as Christians. But that's what our responsibility is. It's so important to train them in the way they should go, because if we don't, you know where they're headed. There's too much influence out there to take them away. So to train them in the right way because it's what's best for them. It's best for the ones loved. Would you look at this in Luke chapter 10 and verse 27? Luke chapter 10 and verse 27. And I'd like to ask you to read this verse out loud with me. Would you read it here? This is, again, Luke 10, 27, if it's on the screen. Let's read it together. So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." So again, love is not self-focused, it's not selfish, self-pleasing. It's how can I bless and encourage someone else? Would you turn to someone next to you and just tell them love gives? Now, that means it cost us something. It may cost us time, may cost us convenience, may cost us money. I don't know. It depends on the situation. But I want to ask you a question. I'd like to get your input before we wrap this up. What hinders us in loving? What hinders us from loving? What hinders us from giving in the way that God would have us to do, according to Scripture? Okay, I'll start in the back, Rick. Past hurts. Past hurts. Let me pause with that one just a moment, because that's certainly, if we allow it, and you know, the thing is, sometimes especially when we're close, our heart is vulnerable. And when someone hurts us, it can almost be a self-protective measure to say, you're not going to hurt me. And to harden myself and to harden my heart and to seek to protect myself. And so in order to do that, though, I shut myself off from loving someone else. So that could certainly be a hindrance in loving and given. I think, David, yes?
No, you just said it.
Okay, we do become vulnerable, and sometimes we don't want to. I mean, when you become vulnerable, you're open to being hurt. The potential is there, but of course the potential is there for great joy as well in being able to express that love and being able to give. Anyone, Brenda?
The fear of rejection.
Okay, the fear of rejection can hinder us from, because you know, we might want to give ourselves to someone, but if they reject me, that hurts. And we don't like that. And so again, that can cause us, do you think pride could hinder us from expressing love and maybe giving in some form or another? Anything else? Maybe anything else, Pam? Okay, so never experiencing love for ourselves could certainly hinder us, because, you know, it is true in one sense that we can only give what we have, right? But if we understood that God loves us and we can receive his love regardless of any human relationship, then we can know his love and we can be free to give love to someone else. Yes, Lori? Okay.
You don't have to worry about running out.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yes. She said, because when we realize that God is the source, we don't have to worry about running out of love. And that's because we can think, I only have this much love to give, and if I give you this much, then I won't have so much for me or for someone else. No, we can freely receive and freely give. But you know what I found about love? It's like planting seed or an investment. The more we give, the more we have. So it's, in fact, I would say it like this: to love and to give is really the fruit of just staying in close relationship with Jesus. It's staying in close fellowship with the Lord, because he's the source. So even if my, you know, I believe we can have the right faith even when we don't have the right feelings, if I could say it that way. We can have the right faith even when we don't have the right feelings so that we can trust God and do what He says. And when we do so, when we trust God and we just simply do what He says, we grow in Christ-likeness. And Christ-likeness is God's will for each and every one of us. Love gives. It's willing to give. And it's also true, though, and some of you probably know this by experience, that when we choose to do something, whether we feel like it or not, it can actually affect our emotions. In fact, let me read you this scripture, Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 and verse 23. Luke chapter 12 and verse 23. This is Jesus speaking. He says this. I'm sorry. I think that's the, yeah, that's right. Let me get it right. Chapter 12, verse 23 says, that's not the one. It's down further. It's the scripture that says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I think it's further down. I'll let you, 34. I wrote the wrong scripture reference. Now, verse 34. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So where we place our treasure is connected to our heart. And you know what I found? I found that when you start to do something for someone else, and even again, maybe the right feelings aren't there, but the right faith is you're doing it because of Jesus, you're doing it because God wants you to do this, then I've found that somehow that has a positive feeling on my emotions, and then I start wanting to do so. We can give into a ministry and find that your heart is drawn to that. Or you can give to a need and find your heart is drawn to that person. You can express some type of giving to someone close to you and you find that you're drawn to that person. Because action affects emotion. Action affects emotion. Would you say that with me? Action affects emotion. Let's put it to the test. Ready? Would you smile? Just smile. That simple little act can have a positive impact in our body. And it can be like uplifting into your spirit, into your emotions, into your physical body. Something that simple. I remember one time I was doing something, and I won't go into all details. If you know about the garden hose, all right? it was about that, okay? But I didn't start off with the right feelings on that. I promise you I didn't. But as I kept doing it, God changed my heart, and He used a hymn to do it. And the message of that hymn was I really believe God brought it to my memory. And only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. And I needed saving in that moment. And I was a Christian, but I needed saving in the temptation, all right? And as I was winding up that 100 yards or whatever it is of hose in 100-degree weather, I was singing that song, and it really got into my heart, and I started meaning it so that I really had a greater amount of joy by the time that was done, and I was ready to go on about my business. It was a whole different attitude just because of that one action and God's grace. I'll make sure He gets the credit, all right? But thank God. So love gives, and I just saw this yesterday. I was reminded of it. Do you know who the most influential person of the 20th century was? At the 20th century now, we're in the 21st, but in the 21st. So 100 years, you got all kind of inventions, wealthy people, celebrities, all whatever it may be. You know who the most influential, according to Gallup, the most influential person of the 20th century was a 4-foot, 10-inch nun from Calcutta. Mother Teresa. Isn't it true that when you think about people, I mean, when you remember people affectionately and you have really fond feelings for them, I know people can acquire things and we can be impressed, but what we remember people more affectionately by is not what they gained, but what they gave. And especially if we've been on the receiving end of their love and their giving. We remember them more for not all the stuff they had. We remember them for what they gave and their heart. Love gives. And so today, just as I close with this, I want to close with this scripture. It's Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. And the Bible says this: I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. In other words, because of what Jesus did for me at the cross, I'm not just living for myself, but Christ lives in me. His Spirit is in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I love these words, I live by faith in the Son of God. I live by faith in the Son of God who, notice it again, please, who loved me and gave himself for me. And brothers and sisters, when we live by faith in the Son of God, we too will love and we will give. Today, as we close, I want to just ask, would you allow the Holy Spirit to search your heart? And if there is, just ask him to reveal anything to your heart that is hindering you from receiving and giving love today. Maybe there's an area that is just not surrendered to him. Would you just ask him to reveal it today? And then let's make it right. Let's not leave this place out of fellowship with the Lord. Let's receive what he has so lovingly provided for us today. So we just bow our heads in prayer. And I want to give you a moment just to let the Lord search your heart and say, Lord, is there anything that's just not like Jesus in me? Help me, Lord. I want to receive your love. I want to be able to give your love. That's really the issue, is not will we give. The issue is will we love. And we can do so, especially if we know the Lord. Can we just stand quietly together right there, just with our heads bowed, just for another moment? Just allow the Holy Spirit to search your heart. And if there is an area where you know is just not right, would you just make it right with him now? Just surrender it to him. It's not about performance. Just hand it over to him and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to give you this hurt. I'm going to give you, I've been selfish, proud, whatever it may be. Lord, I'm just going to yield it to you. And I want to freely receive today.